That is the sound of a grieving mother. A female orca off the coast of Washington State has been carrying her dead calf in the water, keeping it afloat since her baby died a week ago. The calf was the first to be born into this endangered pod of killer whales in 3 years. The drama has captivated marine biologists around the world. Jenny Atkinson is executive director of the Whale Museum in Friday Harbor on San Juan Island. They've been tracking the mother from a distance since her vigil began. Jenny, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting us to join you.
Well, this is such a heartbreaking story to watch. Your museum has a boat out in the water that's been following the whale for days now. What are you hearing about the latest?
So we've been out since Tuesday. Our Captain Taylor Shedd has been out there pretty much 10, 11 hours each day. And what he's doing is just following the family's movements at a distance and trying to provide a perimeter of protection to give them extra space during this pretty sensitive time. And what we're observing is that this family, so the southern resident community is an endangered population of orcas. They're pretty much unique to the Salish Sea and the west coast of the United States and Canada. And what we found is they're really socially connected. It's a matrilineal society, so they travel with their moms all their lives. And in the time of a situation like this, we've seen them support one another in ways that are just astounding.
But usually, doesn't the mother only do what the mother in this case is doing for about a day? This is a long time to be grieving for the dead calf.
You know, it's an interesting question because it's what we've witnessed as humans, but what we witness as humans isn't necessarily the full picture of what they do as a community. So what researchers typically watch them during daylight hours, because you can see them. So what we've witnessed is a day or so, but it's often been a stillborn calf. So one of my questions is, I'm not a marine biologist, so one of my questions to biologists is, or anyone, does grief change once you've met the being that you've carried? So she carried this for 17 months before it was born, and we know that it swam by her side, so there would have been a bonding, a birthing experience. It was not stillborn, it was alive. So there's a part of me that believes that the grief could be much deeper because they had bonded.
And you're concerned now that the mother may be having to exert too much energy in order to keep going down and bringing this baby back up to the surface.
Right. Yeah, so this is a fish-eating population. Their predominant prey is Chinook salmon, which is an endangered and threatened species in the Pacific Northwest. So they're already having trouble finding enough to eat. It's a very congested area with a lot of vessel activity from every type, from recreational to commercial to government and military operations. And it's also pretty urbanized with very toxic water, so their immune systems are compromised. So any extra energy she's having to expend means she has to find more food. But if she is spending time carrying this calf, it's taking away from caring for herself. I do want to say her name. Her alphanumeric is the scientific designation. She's a member of JPOD, so her alphanumeric is J35. But through the Whale Museum's Orca Adoption Program, she's been named Tahlequah. Mm-hmm. So we do that in a way to connect people more to their story. The Whale Museum is the storyteller for this population. We try to collect these stories and share them with the community to create stewards, because everyone can make a difference to help this population recover.
Well, and when it comes to the recovery of this population, this is the first baby, as we said, in a number of years at this point.
Right.
Why is that? Why are they not able to reproduce more?
So several years ago, they had what was everybody kind of called the baby boom. There were 8 calves born over a 2-year period. For those of us who spend a lot of time watching, there was this, it was bittersweet. It's really exciting to see new babies, but you know there's going to immediately be pressure on the moms because lactation is a huge energy process, but it's also how they offload their toxins. So calves get those toxins. So we have a very high mortality rate on firstborn calves. There's a high miscarriage rate in this population. Secondborn calves, if they aren't born at a pretty regular interval, are also going to get a lot of toxins, but none of them are getting enough to eat. So we definitely need more salmon. We think that's part of it, that there's a nutritional stress that's keeping them from being in good enough condition to be able to have calves. But when you had 8 born at one time, and it's a 3 to 5 year process before they have their next calf, you would have expected there to be a long interval before the next next calf was seen, because most of the females who were able to give birth had a calf.
What is what Tahlequah is doing tell you about the way that animals grieve?
The first thing it tells me is that, you know, grief isn't owned by humans. And, if you've ever been around animals, you see them do behaviors, and it's a little different than how we express it, but they definitely seem to express concern and can care for their offspring. Orcas are particularly socially connected and emotionally bonded. They share their food. They stay tightly. They're involuntary breathers, so they have to remind themselves to come to the surface to breathe. So when they go into deep rest, they're in physical contact with other orcas in their community, and one stays awake to kind of watch out. The thing that's amazing about Tahlequah is she's been carrying this calf now. Today is the eighth day that she's been carrying this calf, but it's not in one location. They're traveling the entire inland seas in between British Columbia and Washington State. So they've started at the Strait of Juan de Fuca. They've gone north to Georgia Strait, just off to Vancouver City. Mm-hmm. They've gone as far south as Whidbey Island, which is just north of Seattle. They've come back up through the San Juans. They've done this loop three times. So she's carried this calf hundreds of miles and hundreds of hours at this point. And her family is helping her. So we'll see her. Taylor watched her do three breaches, which is when they come completely out of the mm-hmm. water and then splash and go back under. He saw her do three breaches, and there was no sign of the calf, and he thought, well, maybe she'd finally let go. She popped back up a few minutes, and she was carrying the calf. Mm. So sometimes she carries it in her mouth. Sometimes she carries it across her rostrum. Sometimes it's on her back. But oftentimes somebody else in the community is carrying this for her.
What do you make of the global response to this, that so many people want to know what's going on with Tahlequah?
Orcas, they're charismatic megafauna. You cannot watch them and not feel a sense of awe and joy. And, you know, often in our emotions, the depth of what you feel in joy, you're going to also feel in grief, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. that the more joy you experience, the more ability you have to understand grief. So I think what people are tapping into is these whales give so much joy when we watch them, that you're going to feel that pain of grief, particularly if you've gone through grief in your own life. You understand that depth of pain, although I too am trying to understand the depth of her pain. We watch in our communities, tribal communities have potlatches that will go on for days to honor a member that's passed. We have Irish wakes that last for days. We have, you know, open caskets and state situations where people come to pay tribute to significant community members that have passed, and those ceremonies can go on for days. So we have some human traditions that if you think about those, we can kind of recognize that.
Right.
But I think it's the depth of the grief. And what she's doing is honoring this calf's life, that every member in this community makes a difference and is important even after they die.
Is your group going to continue to monitor Tahlequah for the duration
yep.
of her vigil?
Absolutely. We have another calf of concern, Scarlet, who's J50, is in a family group to Tahlequah's family group. So this is a calf that's severely emaciated, so we're also keeping an eye on her, because there is a hope that if she gets enough food, she's going to recover, but we're watching her very closely. There are other researchers and monitors out on the water, but Soundwatch has taken it on pretty much to be with Tahlequah to try to provide that protection perimeter for her to have the space she needs for what she's doing or what she's going through. We'll be out there.
That's Jenny Atkinson, who is executive director of the Whale Museum in Friday Harbor on San Juan Island. We will link you to some photos and more information about this incredible story at hereandnow.org. Jenny, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And let's hear a little more from Tahlequah and her family. This audio was recorded Sunday on the west side of San Juan Island by the Whale Museum and SMRU Consulting.